Welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and of course, as always, joined by my tactile co-host, Christian Castain. Today, joining us, we have a very special guest, Keith, also known as in the alter ego Vinny Houseplant on Twitter of the band Ohmwreckers and a massive football fan, always making hits. Always banging out the hits, always bringing out the football knowledge, and today we have him on the show. How are you doing, Keith?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing, Eric? Thanks for having me, man. This is
fun. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I'm very happy to have you on the show. I'm happy that I love the people that I do the show with normally over at Pro Sports Fandom, but we have today a very special guest with us, and I'm happy about that.
Well, I'm happy to be here with you, man. Let's do this.
Awesome. Let's get right to it then. Before we do, just some housekeeping stuff. Today we're going to talk about the AFC North takeaways. But before we get to that, you can find us at prosportsfandom.com and on Twitter at EndZonePod. And now on the podcast hosting service and wonderful website, podbean.com. You can go there and it's very easy. You just click on the link that we have in our Twitter, starts playing right away. You can hear us easier that way. We are currently working our way into iTunes and Google as soon as we figure out the technical side of that. Hopefully, we will be up there by the time the season starts. But for now, you can find us in those three places. You can reach out to us on Twitter at EndZonePod. Ask us questions. We are more than happy to answer them. We got a few on our Twitter last time. We're going to save those for a different episode. Give us some more, and then we'll get to kind of a mailbag episode. So without further ado, week one in the preseason just ended last night. Big slate of games, of course. The preseason, it's hard to glean if any of the information is legitimate or not, but let's just go around the table really quickly. Let's start with you, Chris. One big preseason takeaway.
Let me just make this clear. This is 1 week. I don't want to... This means absolutely nothing to me, but I'll say the Bears QB, Mitchell Trubisky, he's probably the standout of the week, mainly because it showed me, based off of what I saw from Glennon and Sanchez, that he should be the starter. It going into week one, and then even going into the second preseason game, I think he should be the starter. And then if I were going to give, I'm going to give a second one, and then the Dallas Cowboys tight end Rico Gathers, he's played pretty well in his first two preseason games.
Yeah, Rico Gathers is an interesting name to watch through the rest of the preseason, kind of watch, see if he makes the final team or not. I'd agree with you. I think we learned, my big takeaway would be, we learned a lot about these, quote, redshirt NFL QBs. I think that most of them, maybe minus Patrick Mahomes, are going to see the field this year. And even Patrick Mahomes looked very good in his preseason debut. Any thoughts, Keith?
I do have a thought on Trubisky. And, you know, I was one of these people when the Bears drafted him screaming, what are you doing? I mean, what are you doing? You don't take that guy there. And a lot of people kind of had that opinion about Trubisky, and I was kind of interested to see what he was going to do. And he was dealing, man. Like, I would agree with that. He was fantastic out there, and, you know, everybody wanted to go on Twitter and, you know, crown him the new king of Chicago and everything, and that's all fine and good. You got to get excited about that, especially if you're a Bears fan, because you've had a corpse at quarterback for a long time. So I don't want to get on the overly excited about Trubisky, but if you're one of those people that want to say don't get overly excited about him, I mean, you have to watch what he did in that game. Like, he was dealing. He was in complete control on the field, and he gave a lot of hope to people out there. It's not like it was some kind of fluke. It didn't look like it was a fluke to me. He looked very comfortable. He looked to be in the driver's seat, and I hope he can keep it going, because the Bears need to be good for football to be good. They're one of those old-school teams that people love, and they've been on hard times for their quarterback for a long time. Cutler was never going to be the answer for them. So Trubisky is number one for me. And two, I was excited to see the Ravens defense and to see what was going to happen with them in the preseason. Again, it is early. It's week one. A lot of guys aren't out there. But what I did see out there on the field from the Ravens defense was pretty good. And I think they're going to have to be good for them to get by Pittsburgh this year. So those are really kind of the only takeaways I've had from what I've seen in the preseason so far.
Yeah, and we'll get to the... To some Baltimore-Pittsburgh talk here in a little bit. Yeah, I'd agree. I thought the Ravens' defense was really good. The other takeaway, I'm going to go with a second one, would be that the Cowboys' defense, as much as it struggles, Taco Charlton, he may be the real deal. Not an all-star or all-pro by any means, but he could be a solid defensive tackle in the league and really kind of start to maybe anchor that defense. And we'll see what Dallas does in the future, but I think they have a young piece there that they can really build around to see if they can get a dominant defense behind, maybe not at the beginning of this year due to the Zeke Elliott suspension and stuff like that, but what in the next few years could be a very dominant team on offense and defense. The other defensive star I really liked was TJ Watt, JJ Watt's little brother. He wrecked the Giants offensive line, which is, we've mentioned many times, as an issue. It brings me even more concern for Eli Manning. I think he's really going to fall off this year.
He's a good starting piece for them, obviously at the defensive line, but especially after they lost Randy Gregory and all them due to their violence, I think he's a good rebuilding piece for that defense.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Keith, any last thoughts on the preseason and what we've kind of, and the very little we've learned from week one of it?
I would just elaborate on what you said about Charlton. You mentioned that, you know, you don't think he's going to be the superstar lunchbox face guy, but he can be a dude that can be in there for you for a good solid decade and be a good solid performer for you. So I think that is a very good piece for them to start with in building a monster. So it should be a good thing for them.
Yeah, good to hear. So now moving on to the largest topic of the day, our AFC division, filled with all kinds of different stories from the Browns, who we are not talking so much about today. We have a very special surprise guest on Thursday, who we are going to be talking a lot of Browns with. So we're going to try to stay away from them. But the other three teams in this division this year, the Ravens, of course, are an interesting team to look at. Their offense isn't perfect, but their defense is certainly good. The Pittsburgh Steelers have a lot of question marks around them on whether they can stay healthy, stay all on the field together, that triplets of Roethlisberger, Bell, Brown. And the Bengals are kind of a question mark up in the air. But we'll start with an overall division question. Keith, I'll start with you. Who do you think has the best defense in this division and why?
I don't know about best, but like I said earlier, we're like sixth last year, something like that. And I like the Jefferson and good enough to have the team. That, to me, that division is a two-team race. And Baltimore made some good moves on both sides of the ball, but that defense needs to be good in order for them to get by Pittsburgh later on in the year. Because if they are healthy, and they got all three of those triplets out there on the field twice, because that they can't beat them in an offensive battle, and if they're going to get by them, their defense is going to have to be stellar. So for me, the Baltimore's defense is definitely going to have to be the
best. I agree. It's the Ravens.
They're going to get by Pittsburgh later next year.
And it's by far going to be the Ravens.
Chris,
I think.
What are your thoughts on the best defense in
this division?
They're bringing
back a top 10 defense. Let's just be honest. You got there are certain positions that are loaded, including Terrell Suggs and then Eric Whittle. And I just think Pittsburgh's defense has been overrated, including by many people, including you. I think you overrate them. But I think the Bengals defense could be better than the Pittsburgh Steelers defense this year.
I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that.
A little bit more thought on that, Keith.
Well, yeah, the Steelers defense, to me, I mean, I'm probably not the best at this because I am a Patriot fan. I've seen them a lot of big games. And there was a period of time there where, you know, I was afraid of their defense. And the last couple of years, man, they just are inconsistent. That's my main thing for them. There's times they go out there and they look really dominant against teams that they should be dominant against, and they look great. And then There's other times they go out there and there's teams that they're playing that they should beat up on, like nothing, and they just they don't look very good. So they're just too inconsistent to me, and I think that the Cincinnati defense is a little younger. I think they're a little meaner, and it's just a matter of whether or not they can have the offense to match it. They're just an inconsistent defense for me, and I would rather put my money on the Cincinnati defense being better than them this year. But Baltimore is still the best defense for me in that division.
I'm going to stand by my my answer of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and here's what I have some stats here to back this up. They have a lot of great young pieces on that defense. Number one, Ryan Shazier. Ryan Shazier last year. I think he's going to have a huge year this year. Last year, 3 sacks, second on the team in tackles, forced 3 fumbles, also had 3 interceptions. He's a great all-around kind of right outside linebacker guy who can get to the quarterback. I think he's just a year away, and I think this is the year where he makes the jump from kind of defensive staple to defensive all-star. And then the other guy is Lawrence Timmons. He's an older guy, a vet, but the past 3 years, he has led this team in tackles. He's a solid defensive tackle and someone who can really keep that line intact. And then cornerback Artie Burns is a guy to really watch on that defense. 3 interceptions last year, 4th on the team in tackles. I think that the Pittsburgh defense maybe – right now, what we've seen of them in the past few years may not be the best in this division, but I think this year they will have the best defense in that.
Yeah, which is going to be a big part of why I don't think their defense. I mean, anybody could pass on them.
Part of that defense.
Safety. Safety's probably
the. So I'm not worried about the front part of that Pittsburgh defense. My concern is always the inconsistency of that backfield.
Yeah, that's a good point to have on that. So I had a question. You guys both brought up the Bengals defense. Talk to me a little bit more about them, the pieces they have. Why do you think they could rival the Ravens for the best defense?
You have talent on that defense, but nobody's passing that Ravens defense. So
it's kind of a moot point. Yeah, I would think it's kind of a little faster and a little meaner. If they are better than Pittsburgh's defense, I don't want to make it up. You know, they're that much better than them. They're probably not too much better than them. I would just probably be more comfortable having them as my defense in Pittsburgh this year, just because of that inconsistency. It just kills me.
My problem with the Bengals is the penalties they take. And you got Vontaze Burfict, who, to his credit, is a great player, but kind of a loose cannon. You can't really control what he does on the field sometimes. I just feel like they're too young. They are young and they are mean, but maybe a little bit too much. So they don't have that kind of restraint where they can harness the times that they need to go out there and just be total bastards to the offense. They got to keep it their potential yet, is the way I'll put it.
Perfect is the majority of that play. There is nothing but truth and facts on film. Vontaze Burfict belongs on the Raiders. He's a Raider. He's not a Bengal. That's what their reputation is out there. There's been big games that Burfict's behavior and his penalties has cost the Bengals in some big spots. So I think the majority of the problem that you speak of has to be put on Burfict, because there's not really a lot of other players on that defense that has 8 miles of film of them being a dirty player.
Yeah, I completely agree with that sentiment. And moving on now, kind of from the defensive side to the offensive side, of course, you guys both think very highly of the Ravens defense, think they're far and above the best defense in the division. My next question would be this. A few weeks back, of course, you had that training camp injury, a herniated disc. It was unclear whether he would be able to make the regular season or not. Now it looks more and more like he will be able to play. But let's say, hypothetically, something goes wrong in the first preseason, in the first season game, and he herniates that disc again. They have Ryan Mallett currently as their quarterback. Should the Ravens have gone out, and should they still go out and pursue a guy like maybe Colin Kaepernick that's out there right now to replace Ryan Mallett? Or do you think Ryan Mallett can be a serviceable 4-5 game starter? Because if there's a herniated disc, That's the bare minimum. We're looking at probably a 4 to 5 game loss of time. We'll start with you, Keith.
Here's my deal with the offense of the Ravens. Ryan Paladin, I was I am still a Patriot fan, and I got to see him play a lot of football when he was in there during the preseason and when he appeared in regular games. He is not a very good quarterback. He is not a very good quarterback in the same way that Colin Kaepernick is not a very good quarterback. So I don't really see the point in why the Ravens would bother going through everything they would have to go through to get cut Kaepernick in there when he's really not going to do much more for you than Mallett, because neither one of them are very good, any deal or anything that happens off the field. The fact of the matter is football people know he's not a good quarterback, and there's just not a difference for the Ravens to have him on there. Now, they would have signed him already by now if they were going to go and do that. So I just don't see the point in doing that. I think they would just stick with Mallett. He has enough for what he can do for them to stay there. I don't think they'd have to go through that to get Kaepernick in there.
Chris, your thoughts on Ryan Mallett and what the Ravens
should do at the backup? Well, it comes down to if you think Colin Kaepernick's better than Ryan Mallett, which I think he probably is. But if there's any question about Flacco's health, then why wouldn't you go sign probably the best free agent quarterback there that's out there? I mean, but my thing is, they're not going to, because they would have already done it, like Keith said. If they were going to sign him, it would have already been done. So, I mean, should they? Yeah, but will they? No.
Yeah, I think...
Can I just interject here a second? Didn't they just sign... Did I read that the Ravens just low Bills quarterback? I think they have found their problem. If they must think that Thad Lewis must be better, if this is confirmed. I don't know if this is correct or not. But you might want to check on that. I believe Baltimore signed Thad Lewis as their backup quarterback, or one of their quarterbacks. So
they're not
because they would have, again, signed him over Thad Lewis. Not a lot of people would take him over him if it was a different offense.
They're not going to sign Colin Kaepernick. I mean, at all. Like you said, it would already been done, and they have signed. I don't remember who they signed, but I'm sure Colin Kaepernick's better than whoever they signed. I will say that.
I've never really been a big believer in did have was nothing more than a result of what Harbaugh did for him. Jim Harbaugh put him in a position. So I know a lot of people feel that he's better than a lot of options out there. I just don't see it that way. I just don't think you can win with him as your quarterback. It's plain and simple.
Yeah, I'm going to take the side of Colin Kaepernick, and I think you're right. I think football people haven't signed him because he's not the greatest quarterback, but I think he's better than Ryan Mallett. And I would have, if I were Ozzie Newsome and I had that kind of power, I think I would have gone out and I would have signed a guy like Colin Kaepernick to pick him up, just to have him back up Flacco in the organization. And especially because of a Harbaugh connection, Colin Kaepernick's best years came when he was with Jim Harbaugh. John Harbaugh has a very good relationship with him. I think that this is probably the last of Colin Kaepernick that we see in the league, at least for a while, because I think this was really his last spot. If it wasn't going to work with the coach who he had so much success with, his brother, wasn't going to work, I don't think it's going to work anywhere in the NFL. But moving on.
Eric, let me ask you this, do you, and I'm, I, will, I don't want to, you don't want to stun all down, Connor, but here's the, maybe it's not up to Harbaugh to have Kaepernick come in there. Do you think that maybe with what happened with Ray Rice and everything that they had to deal with in the past with negative media and all that stuff, maybe that is the reason why they didn't sign him? Maybe Bisciotti himself has said, do not sign this man, because he doesn't want to invite all that stuff onto him. Maybe that's just the simple answer that nobody really wants to look at.
Yeah, that's a good point to have. I think there's definitely something like that's going into the lack of his signing. I think if he was signed, that wouldn't be a question. I think you're right. I think the only reason he's not being signed here is because of the PR backlash from the Ray Rice thing. I think if there wasn't, he's not being blackballed. But I think for the Ravens, if there wasn't that kind of he's a PR issue for some people aspect to it, I think he would be on this team by now just because of his connection with the Harbaugh offense and how he can and how he can make it work. But moving on to the quarterback who is healthy right now, Joe Flacco. Okay, let's say he remains healthy. My question for you guys is, if Joe Flacco is healthy, how good can this offense actually be? Because even with Joe Flacco healthy, I think, and I'll make my point first, I don't think this offense is going to be above a mid-tier kind of team that we talk about. I think their number one receiver right now is, of course, and I have this written down, Jeremy Maclin. Jeremy Maclin, their second wide receiver they have on their depth chart is Breshad Perriman, and they haven't even assigned their third and fourth wide receiver yet. They have a super weak backfield. They have Lorenzo Talaferro at halfback. We didn't see the best out of him last year. This offense, other than Joe Flacco, is kind of mediocre. And Joe Flacco, in my opinion, the last few years at least, has been kind of mediocre. He's past the prime of his NFL career, and I don't think this offense is helping this team get places.
Average, what do you think, Chris? Because, well, you got to remember, they did add Jeremy Maclin recently, but their offensive line is not great. I mean, I see them being a little better than they were last year, but the problem with the Ravens offense is Joe Flacco. He throws too many picks. I just don't. I agree. I mean, the offense is gonna be a little better than it was last year, but it's not gonna be great. It's not gonna be enough to carry the team.
Keith, your thoughts on Joe Flacco?
Well, the one guy that you guys picked up was better, but they got Woodhead. They've got Maclin. No matter how good they are or can be, their measurement is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. It doesn't matter. If their defense doesn't perform up to snuff, they're not going to be able to beat Pittsburgh in an offensive game, because on paper, they just can't match up with them. I just don't picture them. I would be tempted to agree with you guys. I just don't see them being really all anything that they can count on later in the year to do anything for them. If they need a team to put up 40 points, I don't think they can do it. They just don't have the offensive firepower. So if Flacco is healthy, I would say that they're not going to be good enough. I mean, they got some weapons, but not anything that's going to be able to get them over any kind of offensive hurdle in Pittsburgh in a playoff situation.
Quick yes or no question. If we foresee this correctly, can Baltimore's defense carry them to playoff?
Well, they absolutely can, because we've seen it happen before. I mean, Trent Dilfer is not a good quarterback to carry them. I know that we're talking about a completely different team, but if your defense can narrow in the way that it can, and they're a very good defensive team, man, top 10 team, they were 6th last year, they can even be better this year. Yeah, I think that defense can be good enough to carry them, and I don't think that Flacco would be a problem. I think that if Flacco was hurt, and he could play hurt and do just enough to win the game or march his offense down the field every time they have the ball, I think that defense will do enough to where it doesn't really matter that much for Flacco. As long as he can be pedestrian, he'll...
No, they can't take him to the playoffs. Last year's example, I mean, the Ravens had a top 10 defense. I think in order for a defense to be able to take a team to the playoffs, it needs to be a top 2 defense. It needs to be like... It needs to be like the Denver defense in order to carry them to the playoffs. I mean, because Joe Flacco is going to be average. I mean, so no, there's no chance.
Moving on to the next point off of this, we obviously think very highly of the Ravens defense. We think this offense needs work. Is it time after this season for the Ravens, Keith, to start rebuilding or at least reloading this offense, Keith?
Oh, for me. We talked about an emergency plan in case anything happens, pool any large amounts. I just think that they really have to think about the future and what they're going to do at quarterback, because it is the most important position in professional sports. You cannot get around it. If you do not have a quarterback in this league, you're not going to win. So they have a lot of talent on that defense. You're not ever going to have to worry about that. That will remain good for as long as I think Ozzie Newsome is in charge there. But that offense is what you always have to be thinking about in the future with the Ravens, because how long have they been uninventional you back to the Super Bowl and win. You can't win a Super Bowl if you got no running game and can't run the ball late in the year. And if you don't have a quarterback who can't win for you,
I would co-sign what he said, but I would add.
I don't really think that's the proper word.
They need to reload on the offensive clock.
On those two things offensively,
and
they just want to keep staying good.
Figure out what the quarterback situation is going to be in the future. Right now, they don't have the quarterback of their future. It's Joe Flacco, and Joe Flacco is not going to cut it for the Ravens. So I would say reloading on the offense, but the defense, it'll be good for, like Keith said, it'll be good for a while. I'm not worried about their defense. When I think Baltimore, I'm worried about can their offense score 20 points? And right now, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I tend to lean toward that point. Moving on to another kind of question mark team in this division, and I'll start with a question. Are the Bengals A, good, B, bad, C, mediocre, or D, a wild card? I'll start with you, Keith.
Oh, God, E, listen to me very closely in regards to the Cincinnati Bengals, okay? 26 years without a playoff win, okay? They have a head coach there who should have been relieved of his duties late years ago. They have a quarterback who can't get it done under the big lights when it matters the most.
No doubt.
Wild card.
No doubt.
They're going to win. A far different quarterback. We want him done, and that's it. So they're just the Bengals. There is no A, B, or C. It's like, what are they? They're the Bengals. They're going to be good enough to get to a playoff game, maybe. They didn't last year, but they'll be around that meridian. And then they'll disappoint you in the end. So they're just the Bengals. They're not very good.
Okay, let me rephrase that question. All those categories again. Let's throw out the postseason. Throw out the postseason, because the postseason for the Cincinnati Bengals doesn't matter. In the regular season this year, will Andy Dalton be a good quarterback, a bad quarterback, or kind of a mediocre, middle-of-the-road, terrible-to-watch quarterback?
He's going
to
be
everything we are going to see from Andy Dalton. We have seen the best of Andy Dalton. We might not have seen Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is what he is. He's going to be average enough to be successful enough to be in a position to get you maybe a wild card or to have some things happen at the end of the year to help you get into the playoffs. But that is about it. Andy Dalton is not going to be the answer for the Bengals. Going to win them the Super Bowl. So if you're going to take all the playoffs out and just look at the regular season, yeah, he can get you to a playoff game. And I think this year, if they can beat Pittsburgh once somehow, and they can beat the Ravens once somehow, I think that they will find their way back into the playoffs.
What do you think, Chris? What do you think about this Bengals team?
They're medical. They're an average team, 8-8. If, like he said, if they make the playoffs, they're just going to be 1-0. Because they haven't won in, 25 years? I mean, that franchise is a joke when it comes to winning a playoff game. But.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so here's my next question for both of you. Right now, this franchise is a joke, obviously. They're not the Browns, though, at the moment, like as far as standings go. How does this team start the rebuilding process? I'll start with you, Chris.
The offensive line. Let's improve the offensive line. I mean, you have AJ Green, you have John Ross, which is going to be up and coming, but if you don't have an offensive line, then who's going to protect the quarterback? I mean, so you got to start with the offensive line.
Right. Keith.
Here's my thing with this Bengals offense is the fact that Andy Dalton is not a good enough quarterback, and there really hasn't been a dominant Bengal running game in a while. They've had a couple of serviceable running backs, and, they got Gio Bernard. Like, an Ezekiel Elliott type of dude, because their quarterback, the offense just can't work. They need to have a balanced offense, and the part of the reason you talked about that defense being able to control itself and have discipline, they have to compensate for a lot of the things that the Bengals offense can't do in a certain period of time. So it's a lot more easier for them to that defense to not be up to snuff and have a balanced enough offense. And you can't put it all on Andy Dalton and make him have to be, because he's not that guy. So the offensive line would help more in getting a running game that you can use and lean on a little bit more and how they do it, because Andy, you shouldn't be throwing as much as you throw with Andy Dalton at the quarterback position. That's all. That's how I feel.
Yeah, here's my defense of the Bengals offense here. I think they found the right. Joe Mixon, I watched that preseason game on Saturday. That guy's exciting from every account, from every draft analyst. He was the best running back in that draft. And you said Ezekiel Elliott. Well, you're getting Ezekiel Elliott on and off the field. But Joe Mixon is a guy that can move this offense up and down the field. And as long as he doesn't get suspended before his rookie year starts, and that's still a big question up in the air, there hasn't been anything on it yet, but especially where the NFL is with Zeke, I wouldn't be surprised if something came down. If he plays his rookie season, I think he has the potential to be the best running back in a draft class loaded with running backs, and that takes the pressure off Andy Dalton. Do I think they'll win in the playoffs?
I would agree with that, and that is a little more wild than your typical wild cards. And he does have all the talent in the world, and I'm excited do with it. But again, I don't know nothing about this guy other than what he's done on the field before in college and what he's done off the field up until now. So this first year with him is going to tell a lot about what's going to happen with this Bengals offense going forward, because if they can't get him to kind of narrow in and be himself and not be a distraction, then I don't think that the Bengals offense is going to improve any better.
Staying on the point of young players, our second to last question here today, who is the best young player in this division who is not on the Browns? I'll
rookie
start with
in this
you,
division. He's fast. I think he's not going to be elite, but he'll be pretty good in that Bengals offense where they really only have AJ Green.
What about you, Keith?
Well, it seems like everybody's an easy answer, even though he's out. But I'm not going to go that way because CJ Mosley is still 24 or 25 years old. And as a linebacker, Mosley kind of has to make up typical Raven defenders. And he can record tackles and bunches. He gets to the quarterback. He's good support there. And he's really rock solid in coverage. And he's multi-purpose and can do a lot of things on defense. And they got a lot of years left in that guy if he can stay healthy. He's an absolute dream player for any coach for their front seven. And I still think that he's the best young player in that division.
Yeah, I'm going to go team a player on a team we haven't talked a lot about just because we assume they're so far ahead of every other team in this division, and that's Juju Smith-Schuster for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he is a uber-talented slot receiver type guy that they can add beside Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant and stack that offense even more. And that brings us to a nice little wrap-up of this talk about the AFC North. It brings us to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I hope I'm not stealing your guys' thunder, but for who wins this division, I'm pretty sure the answer is all going to be the same across the board. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Here's the harder question to ask. Their offense, I believe, is more talent, has more firepower than the Patriots' offense. Do you think that the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'll start with you, Chris, will be able to stay on the field altogether for a whole year?
Yeah, Martavis Bryant.
And finally,
he's in trouble every year. He's always got something
pass
going.
Over the Patriots and
every
make a Super
year,
Bowl.
It is something. And with Le'Veon Bell, he's either off the field because of injury or he PDs or whatever. This team will not stay on the field together. Something will go wrong with either Martavis Bryant or Le'Veon Bell. Something.
Your thoughts, Keith.
Eric, listen to me very carefully. Trying to teach you going forward is that the Pittsburgh Steelers will. I'm still trying to fathom the Patriots. So even if that was true, it doesn't really matter if they're more talented because Bill Belichick doesn't live in Pittsburgh. He doesn't head coach the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can have all the talent in the world. Belichick can have less talented players than you and still beat you because he knows how to use them. So that's number one. Number two, Pittsburgh cannot stay healthy to beat the New England Patriots the time of year that they're going to be able to beat the New England Patriots. And here's the thing with Le'Veon Bell. You're right. Something always happens. But here's the thing with Le'Veon Bell. The dude has been in the league since 2013. Of the 4 years he's played, this will be his fifth year, okay? whether it's due to suspension or injury or whatever, he has had one season, one, where he has played all 16 games. He had a grade one ACL pull in 14. He had tore his MCL in 2015 and needed surgery. And then he had the groin sports hernia from last year, which he re-injured against the Patriots. I mean, he re-injured it against the Patriots. Like, these are not slight injuries, and he's a running back. And when you're a running back as dynamic as Bell, and you're used as much as he is, and you're the focal point of that offense, everything else works through him. These things take the toll. So until he can do it again and actually...
I see your point, but from a talent... Coaching, no doubt. The Patriots are far and above the better coached team. But if you took away the coaches... and you put it purely on paper, besides the quarterback position, I believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers have the most talented offensive roster in the NFL, minus the quarterback, and then their quarterback is probably the third or fourth best guy in the league. So that's where I'll leave it on that. I think that you're absolutely right. I don't think they'll surpass the Patriots this year, but I think they're on the same level as the Patriots. I think people this year putting the Patriots up on this pedestal where they can't be touched by any team, I think that's ridiculous. I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers...
Of course it is. Any given Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I come down on it, and that's a good place to end it today. First, Keith, I thank you very much for coming on. You were a fantastic guest. Really know your football stuff. You have a podcast of your own. You want to give that a little bit of a shout out and tell people where they can find that good stuff?
Absolutely. I do this most during the of the census called Uncle Keithy Live. And you can find that over on archive.org and just search out Uncle Keithy Live and you'll see me on there. It is an extension of an older podcast I used to do. I got some complaints and decided to bring it back. So we're back on there. We talk about some crazy stuff. We talk about our football, play some great rock and roll music, and it's just a nice hang every week. And we're looking forward to having you on there. Whenever you want to come on, you just let me know.
All right. I can't wait to come on. I sent you this privately in a DM, but you have a very Anthony Jeselnik like vibe to you. And I like that. I like that a lot.
We got to get that podcast back. Can we maybe start like a grassroots campaign to get Rosenbeast and Jeselnik back on that show? Because what was it, like six shows they did and they go away?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I agree. Hashtag RJBP.
CHR.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today here, Keith. Chris, as always, it's been a pleasure. Chris, where can people find you on Twitter?
I think it's working out.
CHRCHS1, that's where you can find my podcast co-host, Christian Castplant, KPR. And that'll do it for today. As always, I'm your host, Eric Jensen, signing off. Go follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. You can find me on Twitter at Eric18Utah. Till next time, peace out.